The Placing You First podcast begins in less than 20 seconds.
Visit crcgroup.com to subscribe, download our award-winning tools and intel articles that help you stay aware of emerging issues and trends, or get a snapshot of the insurance marketplace with our industry-leading Ready Indexes. You'll find it all on crcgroup.com under Tools and Intel.
This is the Placing You First podcast. I'm Dan Wentz, and this podcast features news and insights from CRC's fast knowledge base of 2,000-plus associates who write in excess of $8 billion in premium annually. And we're giving you insider access to what's happening in our company and the types of insurance we place. On this edition of the podcast...
The feedback I'm getting from a lot of carriers or management at our carrier partners is that it's less about the shock losses, it's less about the vertical... nuclear verdicts where someone's $70, $80 million that could come along. It's more about the frequency of larger losses. So things that were settling for $2, $3, $4, $5 million are now settling for $8, $10, $12 million.
This is the Placing You First podcast.
So today we're going to give you an update on the state of the excess and umbrella markets. We have two of our casualty specialists with us today. Josh Chassman is a senior broker with CRC's San Francisco office and member of the Casualty Practice Advisory Committee. He's been a part of the wholesale insurance business for more than 20 years and definitely focuses specifically on casualty. And we're also joined by Susan Malott, who's a senior broker in the CRC Chicago office and also a member of the Casualty Practice Advisory Committee. Thank you guys very much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
No worries. So the last time we talked excess and umbrella on this podcast, we were talking mainly about the marketing getting firmer. That must have been late 2019. Here we are a couple months later. The world has turned upside down. No one seems to know what to think with COVID-19, coronavirus going around. What are some things that you guys are seeing right now that specifically you could comment on? So what do you think? What's going on? How's it looking right now, Josh?
If anything, it's probably gotten tougher overall. I think that the common conception in the marketplace is that this will go on for a while, that hardening will continue. We have yet to really complete a cycle, if you want to look at it that way. The hardening excess umbrella market really hit us sometime in the late fall, early winter. So we have yet to renew a full year worth of accounts in this challenging market. And like you said, on top of that, everybody's solving the work from home, shelter in place challenge, and work is getting done differently. I would say that at the highest level, things are continuing to be as much, if not more, of a challenge.
And Susan, have we ever seen anything like this before? Is this pretty much unprecedented, what the markets are doing in this whole situation?
Well, obviously, the coronavirus situation is unprecedented. So yes, we've not had anything like that before. We certainly have had hardening of markets before, however, and that started before the virus really kicked in. You would think that maybe they would pull back on that, but obviously, it's going to be the opposite. And then hearing some upper management at some of our carriers talking, they're saying that they're, as Josh said, they're expecting it to get a lot worse before it gets better because of the coronavirus impact down the road.
So we're talking about premium increases, right? Right? Are you guys in agreement that, we're going to see some premium increases moving forward?
I'll take that. Sure. yes. We just went through our 5/1s, finishing up our 5/1s. And I would have to say we have had significant increases on many of them. That can't be an across the board statement, but definitely are seeing a trend towards pretty significant increases in some cases. And it can range. It can range from 5%. It can range to over 100%. It's a big range. It depends upon what the account is. So that's in our world. That's what we're seeing in general. But then in talking to some of our underwriters, they're saying on occasion with some renewals that they're not giving as much an increase. So it's very inconsistent right now, but there's probably more increases than not right now.
And Josh,
do you agree, Josh?
Absolutely. I would. The stuff that comes to us is tending to see some pretty substantial increases. And I would say, to Susan's point, the 5% increases are less frequent than the 50 or 75 or more percent increases. It seems like the carriers in general are realizing that their structure, attachment, pricing, all of that was not aligned with their current understanding of the losses that they're going to pay. And so and I know we'll touch more on this, but the restructuring of a lot of programs and towers is affecting it pretty greatly.
What is driving all this? So coronavirus is out there, obviously. Are we seeing a lot of jury awards that are pushing these markets to price this way to do the premium increases?
I think the word social inflation has become a new term that people are using, and it's because of a lot of the jury awards are getting much larger. But also, in addition to that, it's the cost of handling claims are escalating with the carriers, and that's contributing. The other problem is the jury awards are impacting the excess carriers, because in the past they never really underwrote with the intention of having losses into their excess layers. So now, even on the high excess layers, they're getting hit with very, very large claims, and they never priced for that type of scenario. So that's dramatically impacting the excess players.
I would add to that two things. One, which Susan was sort of getting to, the feedback I'm getting from a lot of carriers or management at our carrier partners is that it's less about the shock losses. It's less about the vertical, you know, nuclear type verdicts where someone's $70, $80 million that could come along. It's more about the frequency of larger losses. So things that were settling for $2, $3, $4, $5 million are now settling for $8, $10, $12 million because of, like Susan said, the new sort of a new world approach to this. And they're just not prepared for that. If, you know, they were sort of prepared for that nuclear verdict that would come along once every however many years, but they're not prepared for multiple verdicts that are going X of 5, X of 10, X of 15 million. The other thing I'd add to that is there is a new business in our country that has popped up in the last few years, and that is that venture capital money is actually going into backing groups of lawyers who will essentially buy a plaintiff who's ready to or willing to settle for something smaller and say, we'll guarantee you more than that and we'll take your case. And they're turning around with a slew of specialty attorneys and attacking the insurance companies to get higher settlements and higher verdicts. And they're having success at that. And that's a new sort of a new scary impact that's creeping in.
So how is all this affecting capacity right now? Obviously, we're seeing some thinner layers. I think the last time we talked about that, that's what was going on. Still having those issues?
Oh, it's continuing to get worse. The days of having three carriers on a $75 million placement are pretty much in the past. There's very few carriers wanting to even do leads, let alone big limit leads. So on a lot of cases, you're only going to be able to get $5 million. And that's even changed from the last, I would say, few months. That that's even going down further. The layering of these programs, the incremental layering is very much impacted by all this scenario, and the carriers are deciding to cut their limits back. So in some cases, on a excess trucking placement, for example, you're only getting $5 million at a crack until you probably get to $40 million or so, and then you might get 10, and that's probably even changing as we speak. So yes, it's dramatically impacting the capacity that the carriers are willing to put up on an account.
And thus the pricing, which is I think what both right. Susan and I were talking about a few minutes ago. So for example, if you had a placement with any given carrier doing a lead 25, and then they shorten that 25 down to just a lead 5, the odds are that lead 5 will go for approximately the same pricing as what last year's 25 did. And then you'll have to build the tower above that.
The other impact is the minimum premiums. I mean, you used to be able to get a high excess layer for $1,000 a mil or $1,500 a mil. And in a lot of cases, again, that's changing where the carrier's minimum premiums at the very top levels, no matter how high the attachment point is changing. There's also something called layer trapping that we're seeing a lot of, because if one layer is priced more than the layer below it, that's not being accepted by the underwriters. And the underwriters are actually, in a lot of cases, asking for the whole layer so that they can see what the pricing is so that there's no disproportionate pricing from the layer below them or the layer above them. So it's becoming pretty interesting as it relates to putting big programs together.
What are you guys seeing with excess auto?
Excess auto is continuing to be a nightmare. I'll start. You can add in.
Please.
The carrier, that difficulty market started last April when one of our carriers pulled out of writing excess trucking. And that has continued to deteriorate for the last year now, I would say is what it is. Last year, we were able to put together $100 million programs. I think that is very, very, very difficult to even try and put $100 million million-dollar programs together today. And if you talk to some of our brokers that are doing a lot of trucking, they will definitely agree with that. That again, and it's because of the shrinking in of the limits and the capacity out there, and of the carriers that are willing or not willing to put up limits on excess trucking accounts. So it continues to get more difficult. The pricing continues to go up, and it's a pretty difficult area right now for the insurance, definitely.
I'm seeing a major uptick in auto buffers, and that's being driven by a lot of the standard carriers as well as E&S carriers who on a lead five historically might have said, we'll attach at 1 million auto or 2 million auto. And now they're saying they want to attach at 2 or 3 or even 5 million auto. So you need to come in and get someone to just do a 2x2 or a 3x1 or a 1x2 or whatever it might be to get their auto limit up to where the market will actually attach. So there's been a major uptick in demand for those really short limit auto only buffers. And those aren't going cheap either.
Correct.
Because those are pretty high. They're short limit, but they're high exposure. And because they're auto, they're each and every unaggregated. So they tend to, I guess, large fleets tend to look at it as almost a rate online type scenario. But that's definitely an uptick in our marketplace as well.
What about regional considerations? Is there anything to be said for the different regions like New York, California, Georgia, Florida? I know you guys are in a specific area, and you know, Susan, you're out there in the Midwest, and Josh, you're on the West Coast. What is your feeling as far as regional goes? Is that an issue? Is there any changes there?
It all depends upon the type of account it is. I mean, it's very, very account specific or industry specific in some ways as to if it's impacted by the regions or not. For example, liquor laws are different in states, so that has an impact. Construction is different if you're in the CD states, which could include definitely New York, which is difficult. Any kind of construction in New York is very well impacted by that. That's a whole different animal. But also in Florida and California and Nevada, and there's a variety of CD states that are much more difficult placements depending upon the type of business it is. It's construction, for example. But if you have a product account, I don't see much of a variance by territory.
Yeah, and it's probably a good idea to check with your CRC broker if you're wondering about what's going on in the local area, specific accounts, that kind of stuff. The market's hardening. Things are difficult right now. What are some tips you can share with agents and their insurers to produce the best outcomes?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is communicate early, communicate often. Obviously, it does not go over well ever to tell someone that they're going to get a 50, 60, 80 plus percent increase on a placement or part of a placement, but it's certainly worse if you tell them 2 weeks before the X date and that's the first they're hearing of it. I'm trying to make sure that my clients are aware of the market changes and are communicating with their insured that this is a reality and that we can get numbers hopefully early enough that they can be prepared for it and, you know, maybe get worst case scenarios and try to improve from there. But to me, that would be the first thing that comes to mind.
Another item I would suggest, because the underwriters are swamped right now because of the price increases, everyone's shopping every account. The accounts that have complete and thorough and very well put together submissions are going to go to the top of that pile. So we do recommend that, again, early is really good because it's going to take longer to get quotations from underwriters in general right now. In addition, because of the coronavirus and people working from home and other distractions, that's also probably had some impact on it. But anything you can do to have a complete submission going onto an underwriter's desk is pretty important right now, more so than even before, but that's really good. Your account will be thrown to the bottom of the pile if it's not in good shape. So I would recommend that working your submissions pretty good.
So right now it's tough out there, and obviously we here at CRC are experts in handling these accounts and helping you navigate tough times. What kind of value do you guys add to agents who are trying to place umbrella and excess accounts right now?
I would say the first thing. Obviously, Susan and I have both been doing this for a while and have the depth of relationship, but I would actually put a nod to the CRC and the CRC community as a whole. You know, Susan doesn't know I'm about to say this, but Susan and I correspond periodically on accounts. One of us might get something in that's either regional to the other person or specific to their expertise in a certain class, and we reach out to each other, but we both also reach out to people across the country. The power of CRC as a whole data that we have, the ability for us to search within our data and to reach out to people whom we know have expertise in a region. CRC really does have a great network of producers with expertise that we can rely on one another. And it's something that I've always shared with my clients, that they're getting the depth of the expertise of hundreds of brokers and not just me. And I may be the face of it for them, but when necessary, we can you know, dive in and find data about specific classes of business and recent successes we've had and what markets are getting done, the things that we need them to get done, maybe for us individually and maybe for one of our counterparts in another office.
I totally agree with what Josh has to say. Our ready platforms that I know that CRC has been advertising are invaluable to how we're even marketing an account anymore. Even as a double T, we might know what the markets are, but we can go into our systems and see if there's a market that maybe we weren't thinking of or that has written the same type of account. And that is so valuable to us. It's fabulous. On top of it, I think, you know, with our experience, both of our experiences, we know the terms and conditions to look for. We have our relationships with carriers. We know how to manage accounts. We know how to place big layered programs. And there is a science to some of it. It sounds very simple on the surface most of the time, but there is a skill that goes into a lot of what we do. And, you know, we're proud to be part of CRC and our whole group of brokers that we work with.
For sure. I think it's impressive what you guys do. Like, I probably couldn't do it. There's a ton of experience sitting just in this room, and multiply that by, or not room, virtually via this web conference, but multiply that by, I don't know, 30, 40 times, however many producers we have that are all sharing knowledge right now. It really is a good thing. And there is systematic processes in place. I'm just kind of a blind carbon copy on all the emails you guys trade. But I can attest to the fact that you guys are sharing knowledge on a daily basis and helping each other out. And I think that's really impressive for sure. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys. That's Josh Chasman. He's a broker at CRC San Francisco office. You can find his contact information as well as Susan Malott's information. And Susan is from the CRC Chicago office, just as a reminder. If you want to talk to them, you can look them up online, crcgroup.com. And of course, we've got all our CRC brokers. You can kind of check out where everybody is, what they specialize in. It's all in a single database on our website, pretty easy to search. I encourage you to go check that out right now. But again, thank you very much, Josh and Susan. This has been super helpful.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
The Placing You First podcast.
A quick note, CRC Group is hiring, and we want you to join our team. CRC is expanding nationwide, opening new offices and hiring at all levels. Join one of the nation's leading wholesale brokers today by finding the careers page on crcgroup.com. Also, stay up to date with everything CRC by following us on LinkedIn. We'd love to start a conversation with you there. And make sure you subscribe to the Tools and Intel newsletter. We send out our latest white papers and reports to our subscribers, and all we need is your email address. It's an easy sign up at crcgroup.com. Thanks for joining us on the Placing You First podcast.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level?
Join Team CRC to gain access to best-in-class tools, data, exclusive programs, and more. Send your resume to resumes@crcgroup.com and read testimonials from our recent hires on LinkedIn. Search for CRC.